Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am glad you have stopped by. We have an exciting show today, and the name of our show is The Nature of Grace to Change the Heart. And before we start, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I call upon your grace and submit my will today completely to you. Make me ready to receive your greatest gift, the gift of yourself. You have poured out your peace on me as a gift of your amazing grace. You have stilled the storm in my life and made the troubled waters calm. You have erased my anger and bitterness and given me love and reconciliation. Thank you for making me an heir of your peace and your grace today. Amen. Well, today our topic is the nature of grace to change the heart. You know, what God makes in the simple light of the soul is more beautiful and more delight all the other things he created. You know, though that light comes grace. When you think about through that light comes grace, God also calls himself by these names, the beginning and the end. Comforter, counselor, creator, deliverer, day star, faithful, father, friend. His grace gives us the right to call him by these names without fear of rejection. And on the basis of our second birth, God have given us a gift again, unearned and undeserved. And some of the words we'll be using throughout the day is helper, high priest, the way, the truth, and the life, the nature of grace. My. You know, it is the nature of grace to change the heart and make it peaceable. By nature, we are a fierce, cruel disposition. You know, when God cursed the ground for man's sake, the curse was that it should bring forth thorns and thistles. And you'll find that in Genesis 3 and 18. You know, the heart of man naturally lies under this curse. It brings forth nothing but the thistle of strife and contention. You know, but when grace come into the heart, it make it peaceable, fuse a sweet, loving disposition. It smooth and polish the most knotted pieces. It files off the ruggedness in man's spirit. You know, grace turns the virtue, you know, just like when you think of a vulture. Grace turned the vulture into a dove, the bara into a myrtle tree, the lion like fierceness into a lamb like gentleness. And when you read over in Isaiah 55 and 13, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. You'll find that in Isaiah 11 and 10. You know that it is spoken of as the power that the gospel shall have upon men's heart. You know, it should make such a metamorphosis that those who before were full of rage and antipathy shows now be made peaceable and gentle. You know, peace shows us the character of a true saint. A saint is given to peace. They are the keeper of peace. The saint is an heir of peace. And when you think about that nature of grace, when God made in the simple light of the soul is more beautiful and more delightful than all the other things he created. Though that light comes, grace. Grace never comes in the intellectual or in the will. If it could come in the intellectual or in the will, the intellectual and the will would have to rise above themselves. You know, the true union between God and the soul take place in the light spark, which is called the spiral of the soul. Grace doesn't take any work to unite. It is an indwelling and a living together of the soul in God. You know, every gift of God makes the soul ready to receive a new gift greater than itself. God has never given any gift so people might rest in the possession of the gift, but give every gift that he has given in heaven and on earth in order that he might be able to give one main gift, which is himself. So with this gift of grace and with all his gifts, he will make us ready for the one gift, which is himself. You know, no one is so coarse or stupid by God's grace, unite their will wholly and entirely with God's will. And nothing more is necessary than that they should stay with earnest longing. You know, when you think about, oh, Lord, show me your dearest will and strengthen me to do it. You know, and God does it as sure as he lives and give them grace in every richest fullness until they came to perfection. You know, in Romans 3:17 say, if by the trespass of one man death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness range in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promised peace to his people, his saints. Today we are talking about the nature of God, of grace, to change the heart. You know, why should there be such great glory in one of human nature? When you think about it, this is undoubtedly an act of grace. No obvious merit comes from having Christ in the form of a human, except that those who consider such a question faithfully and soberly would have and have a clear demonstration of God's great grace. Then they might understand how they themselves are justified from their sins by the same grace which made it so that the human Christ has no power to sin. You know, therefore the angels hailed his mother when announcing to her the future birth. Hail, he said, full of grace. And he said, surely after you have found favor with God. And it was said of her that she was full of grace. She was to be mother of her Lord, indeed the Lord of all. Yet, concerning Christ himself, whom the evangelist John said, and the world became flesh and dwelt among us. He added, and beheld his glory, the glory as of the grace and truth. You'll find that in John 1:14. When he said the word became flesh, this means full of grace. And when he said the glory of the only begotten of the Father, this means full of truth. You know, indeed it was truth himself, God's only begotten Son. And again, this nor by grace, nor by nature, who by grace assumed human nature and to such a personal unit that he himself became the Son of Man as well. Today we're talking about the nature of grace to change the heart. You know, in John 12, in John 1 and 14, the word of God says, so the word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And when we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. My. When you think of that, we think of grace and peace. You know, the greeting of the Apostle Paul when he said grace and peace to you is amazing to people of the world. Only those who belong to Christ comprehend the two words, grace and peace. Grace releases sin, and peace makes conscience quiet. The two friends that tormented us are sin and conscience. But Christ have defeated these two monsters and trodden them under his foot, both in this world and in the world to come. You know, therefore, these two words contain the whole sum of Christianity in their meaning. Grace contains the remission of sin. And peace contains the quiet and sharper conscience. But peace of conscience can never be had unless sin is first forgiven. But sin is not forgiven by the fulfilling of the law. For no one is able to satisfy the law, but the law shows us sin, accuses, clearing the wrath of God, and drive one to despair. And one cannot take away sin, though the works and creation of people, like strict rules, religious practice, vows, and pilgrimage. But there is no work that can take away sin, but instead work increase sin for the perfection and merit mogling the more the labor and sweat to bring themselves out of sin, the deeper they are plunged into it. For there is no means to take away sin but through grace alone. Today we're talking about the nature of grace. You know, therefore, Paul, in all the greetings of his letter, said grace, peace against sin and evil. The words themselves are easy, but it is hard to be persuaded in our heart that by grace alone, nor by any of the means, either in heaven or in earth, we have remission of sin and peace with God. When you think about it, how can I thank you for your grace and your peace? You know, they hold my world together, helping me through each day and ensuring my eternal future. You can't help but to walk in what you have given me. That was through the nature of grace. And in Romans 3, and 7 say, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're talking about the nature of grace to change the heart. And at this time, we can't do it without Jesus. So we're going to play a song on where we need a little more Jesus.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today we are talking about the nature of grace to change the heart. And, you know, when I thought about that and the different scriptures I went to, when you think about grace, I was looking outside as I was thinking and reading. When you think about as the days begin to warm in springtime and trees burst into blossom and sprout new green leaves, and when the days become hot in the summer, the leaves grow large and take on a darker hue. And in the autumn, the days shorten and leaves turn vibrant shades of red and gold. The nature of grace. We're still talking about the grace on how God's grace to change the heart. And, you know, whether changing your career or moving to a new location or whatever, you come to a point in time where it's got to change. Your heart has got to be right. You know, change is necessary because it brings growth. In the same way the trees must change with the season to maintain that growth, you also must change and adapt to the season of your life to maintain your spiritual growth. And to do so means trusting in his grace to get you through hard time, letting go of your old life when the season again change, and trusting in his promise that springtime will come. You know, to reflect on the change God has brought to your life and thank him for the period of growth that you have experienced as a result. That means, you know, a lot of things have changed where your heart have changed. You're not still having that same thing in your heart that you had a while back. It's through his grace. And, you know, when you hear and think of that, you can't help but change. You know, you need to be at a place where you you know, we talk about church so much, and, you know, but when you hear the word church, the first image this probably spring into your mind is a building with a tall steeple where people sit quietly listening to sermons each Sunday morning. But yet the church is something much more. It is a place you can come together with others to encounter the grace of God and experience true Christian communion. You know, a place where you can hear the word of God and be inspired to make a radical change in the way you think and act. You know, a place where you and others can celebrate the joy of belonging to the family of God through worship. And a place where you can actively demonstrate the grace of God by serving and helping others. Today we're talking about the nature of grace to change the heart. So you need all of this here, because you can't just do it by yourself. When you share your burden with others in the Christian community, you'll be strengthened and, you know, revitalized by the support and encouragement you receive. You will experience the grace of God in a genuine way and be able to share that grace as you help others who rely on you for support. You know, by God's grace, we have been given support and encouragement through a community of believers, knowing that not only you, but people everywhere need that grace. And God is standing right there with open arms today to give you that grace. And when you think about it, through that, you know, through that light comes grace. And by him, his grace gives us the right to call him by the names that I gave you earlier without fear of rejection and on the basis of our second birth, your heart and grace, how God has prepared you and moved you from one level to the next through his love, through his grace. You can't help but, you know, have a change of heart. You know, God's name is a place of protection. God's people can run there and be safe. You'll read that in Proverbs the 18th chapter and the 10th verse. We're still talking about God's grace. You know, have a defense the Lord has graciously given to each and every one for our protection, our heart. We can keep that heart clean from everything that is not of God. God's word will serve you well if you regularly study it and meditate on it and commit it to memory. God's name would be your blessed eternal refuge if you always allow it and strive to ascribe its glory. You know, discipline your grace. When you think of that, you for your mercy and grace, enough to cover all my failing, enable me to live a holy and a righteous life. You have done for me what I could not do for myself. That's for what that I am so grateful. That's through the word of God. And as I end the program today, you can go to Titus 2 and 11. The word of God said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly, and live in this present age. The nature of God to change the heart. God makes in the simple light of the soul is more beautiful and more delightful than all the other things he created. My. Just think on that today. I know you can find a lot of scriptures in the word of God on grace. But we just give you a little synopsis today on the nature of grace to change the heart. I hope you was blessed today by this lesson. And stay tuned next week for another exciting topic that we will bring you on Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I'm glad you have stopped by. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And for those that may come on later, check the archives for any of the programs that preceded this one. Thank you for being a faithful listener. And until next week, I love you, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.